From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Lucas, get your hands out of your pants.
Atreyu! I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, it's Wednesday, March 10th, the evening of 2010.
And this is show 077. That was a very heroic tone we both took on that one there.
Well, yeah. We got so much to talk about. We could talk for 2 hours and not be done.
We really could. We shouldn't, and we won't, but we could.
No, we're both under the weather a little bit.
Yeah, I spent most of the day fighting off a little cold thing happening here. You know what I have noticed?
Well, go ahead. I'll make my notice after your notice.
Okay. Well, first of all, give us the minions number.
279. Oh my God, 279 minions.
That's a beautiful number.
More on the minions in a little bit also.
Yes. I have noticed that our podcasts tend to take one of three different tracks.
Okay.
The first track that we will tend to take is to talk about subject X, whatever subject X might be. And
all
we
right.
freeform associate on that.
Yep.
And invite discussion upon
yep.
it as well.
Yes.
The second tack is for us to discuss a thing that happened why.
Yes.
And sometimes that will lead into a more open discussion of subject X. Sometimes it just leads to ruminating on topic thing that happened why.
Right. So exposition mode is that one.
Yes. Well, that one takes two branches. Either we use it and we open it into a broader topic, or we crawl straight up our own behinds.
Right.
Of course, I'm usually far more guilty of that than you. But in any event, yes, it's sort of expositional and ruminations upon ourselves.
Right. We do like to ruminate.
And then third possible branch is where we just list off a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Like things that are coming up, important things
right.
that are happening to us.
Okay, I thought that's what you were referring to.
Oh, no, I was talking more about, so we met famous person
oh,
X,
yeah. Yeah,
and
that's another
rumination on our fame, blah-de-blah-de-blah, and
sure.
such. But then there's just, you know, this show is coming up, and we're looking forward to this thing. And the problem is, we have all three of those things we could go into tonight. I mean, any night we could go into that, but tonight especially, it could take any one or many of those directions.
I have a solution because I've thought the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Because so much of this is just awesome, great stuff, and we're always teasing people that great things are happening. Tonight we're going to announce a bunch of them, you know?
Yep, yep.
I think that if we just keep the announcements to a basic and, you know, because the information is on our website and other places.
Yep.
And that we just provide the color commentary for it.
I think that's probably, yes, that's probably best.
And to the same end, so that, you know, if we do just have too much awesome and just get expositional,
mm-hmm.
Well, two things. First, my observation, and then a short thing that happened that doesn't relate to anything.
Okay.
My observation is that today is your for real's birthday.
It is. It is Paul Saborin's birthday, parentheses, actual, as opposed to Saturday, which was Paul Saborin's birthday, parentheses, celebrated.
And not only is it your birthday, and this is totally out there in the public and all, so I know, you know, I don't have to say that you are
not,
of a certain age.
Yeah, you're not speaking out of school here.
You are 40 now.
I am a 40-year-old man, officially now, too, because it's one of those, like, if I wanted to be one of those people, I didn't officially turn 40 until like 3:28 p.m. or something like that at Eastern Standard Time, exact time I was born. But truthfully, and I was having this discussion with my wife on Saturday night when she took me out to dinner, More on that in a second, about how, like, I really, like, I don't, it doesn't make me a better person or anything, but I really have not, this 40 doesn't really mean much to me. I mean, yes, it's a milestone, quote unquote, but I it's not like it's caused me to be introspective or get melancholy or feel old or anything. I really didn't feel like it was a momentous thing for me. I think 45 is going to hit me harder. I will say, we may have discussed this, not on the podcast, but, like, you know, 30 was kind of neat, but it didn't really matter much. 35 hit me a little bit.
Actually, I think we did discuss it, and it was actually 31 that bothered me, because then you can no longer say, you know, when you were in your 20s, you're in your 20s. When you're 30, you're 30. Right?
Yeah.
But with 31, you're in your 30s.
Yeah. And with me, 35, like, I'm no longer in my early 30s.
And you've moved out of a major demographic group.
Exactly. Exactly.
Although, I would posit this would be true for both of us, in that we're both fairly, and, you know, you folks listening to us would probably say, no, I can't be. And some of you could believe it. But that we're both really introverted people.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that as part of that, we do an almost constant introspection and reexamining and weighing, so that even though, sure, when an actual milestone comes around, be it a round number or, I don't know, something else, it's like we've already done a lot of the preparation, so it doesn't land on us like, whoom, or like, wah.
Yep.
Or like, icky, icky, icky. It doesn't land anyway, whatsoever.
With no silly noises whatsoever.
Right.
That's entirely, I am in 100% agreement. But to jump off of what you were saying, the reason we described Saturday as Paul Saborin's birthday celebrated was my wife, in conjunction with my friend Storm, threw me a surprise party on Saturday. She took me out to dinner and a movie, and... I came home to a house full of people, including Storm and his wife and many other friends from throughout my life. And I was completely 100% surprised. I've only ever been thrown two surprise parties in my life. Once when I was about, I believe, 13, and then once this year. And both times I had absolutely no clue, which I don't know exactly what it says about me. Either it says my family is very devious and good at subterfuge, or I'm just incredibly oblivious.
No, we are incredibly devious, and it was really a great pleasure, the moment when you came in the house there, and it was clear that Kim had said, your wife had said, that you were clueless, you know?
Yeah, I was totally clueless, we were even talking at dinner, it was like, I was doing my whole, 40, you know, I didn't feel like, I don't really even feel like doing much, you know, give me a present or something, and I'll lay around the house or whatever. That's what, you know, whatever, 40, meh. And then I come home to this big, awesome party.
The thing is, you're devious too. So you could have been playing it off as, I'll act surprised and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so clear, not only that you were surprised, but that you liked that you had been surprised.
Yeah, so I loved that I had been surprised. Especially, I walked in, you were one of the first people I saw, and you had your smug smile, Storm smile on your face. Like, yeah, I got you.
Got you. It was so hard because, part of what Kim planned was she asked if I could help her pull together a video for you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you being a star fucker as you are, I track down as many of our fun, awesome, interesting friends who might produce segments and whose email addresses I already had, because I didn't want to use any of the other channels to try to contact people. Twitter, whatever. You might see it.
I might.
And I lost my train. I lost my train of thought.
Well, you were devious, and you assembled this wonderful video from many of our good and talented friends, and that's posted on our website. You can see that there's a whole post for it. I was absolutely touched and tickled, and any other T adjective you can describe, or at how I was just it felt great. I mean, you don't want to say, oh, wow, I have all these wonderful friends and they all love me so much. And blah, 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 blah. But it just, it was really nice to see how many people put in, great amounts of time, especially you for assembling that. I know how long it takes to put that crap together, always way longer than you think. And to see that many people put in that time to make that video. That's something that will stay with me for quite a long time, and everybody should have the pleasure of something like that. Hint, hint, Mr. Birthday in October. You'll get yours, De Costanzo.
Well, it was
10-minute mark is right now. Boom!
I have it as 20 seconds from now.
Oh, that's true. You know what? It may be roughly then.
Anyway, it was certainly I won't lie, it was a lot of work, mostly because I'm using an old version of iMovie that tends to crap out randomly, so it's sort
that's
of...
That's a feature on iMovie 6 or whatever you have.
Well, the ironic thing is I have a full and awesome copy of Premiere Pro, Adobe Premiere Pro, that I've just never bothered to learn to use. And it's just sitting there, and it's like I have this a limited time to do the video, and it's either I could learn to use Premiere Pro and possibly not have time to finish the video or suffer through. If I could jeté.
Please jeté away.
I mentioned the Minions before, sort of part two of the Paul Saborin birthday experience. Last year we did this as well, was mobilize the Minions to provide greetings. Eventually, I'm sure you will be acknowledged by Joss Whedon, but until then, you will be greeted by him by proxy by the Minions.
I have been acknowledged by dozens of fake Joss Whedons today via fake email.
Fake Joss Whedons, I think, is the front runner right now.
Yep, absolutely.
And I want to apologize, Minions out there. I've been migrating the Minion list into Gmail. And if I did not contact you on this mission, it's not because I am not infallible, because I am. It's because there are dark forces that are in my way. So if you were not specifically invited, it was the unnamed government agencies.
Yeah. In fact, if you weren't specifically invited, maybe you can shoot us an email, because it could be that we, for some reason, do not have your contact info as a Minion.
Yes.
So if you are in the Brigade of Minions and did not get an email from Storm about my Joss Whedon greetings, shoot us an email.
And be sure to include your Minion designation, because that way we can match it up. And now that we have you in Gmail, there might be mischief in the future.
That's right. So you said you had an unrelated topic to discuss.
You know what? We're already 12 minutes in and we have so much awesome. Let's just jump in.
So short version, thank you all for the wonderful birthday greetings and all of that. You know, and the last thing I'll say about it is there are a bunch of very, very funny things. I've gotten an email from various, you know, the terrible Photoshops and interesting illustrations from Joss Whedons.
I haven't seen most. They've come directly to you.
I will forward you some of the better ones, I think. But there is one that I am a little bit wondering. It's how do I put this without sounding like a douche? Like we're by no means like in the Whedonverse, you know, best buds with everyone by any stretch, but it's getting to the point where we know people who know people.
Or at least know people who know people who know people.
Yeah, so it's not completely outside the realm of possibility that the word could filter back to Joss Whedon and somehow he might send an email, just, you know, somebody bugs him and says, hey, could you just shoot this guy an email? And I got one, and I'm not going to talk about it in specifics, but it's a pretty good forgery.
Well, I may have some intel. We'll compare notes after the cast. Sorry, folks. We'll share later. So can I introduce the next bit of awesome?
Absolutely.
Well, I have a statement to make.
You go ahead, Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podium Greg Storm De Costanzo. He will be issuing a statement. He will not be taking questions.
Do you like Star Wars?
That's a kind of a question more so than a statement.
It is, but it's a statement because it is also the name of our new album.
Da-da-da-da! That's right. MHR-505 is being manufactured as we speak. That's lingo. That's the number designation for the CD. We have a brand new CD. Well, when we say a new CD, it is basically just a collection of the stuff that we have written, most of the stuff we've written over the past year and a half.
But it's never been a CD.
Exactly. It's never been on. It has never been gathered together into CD form, and now it has.
The artwork is done by the awesome and talented and awesome Molly Lewis.
Yes, I think maybe we'll post the cover.
Yeah, let's do it.
On this, on when this goes online, the cover art will be posted in this post. Yeah, Molly did an awesome job. She was right, totally on the our wavelength with it, and she knocked it out of the park.
So we won't tell you what it is. You can just look online for it. There's also a T-shirt that is done in this style that will be coming out, and it's called...
Go ahead.
Oh, it is called Rock.
Rock.
R-A-W-K.
In fact, we may post that picture as well. Maybe it'll be a bevy of pictures on this posting for our new stuff.
But there's even more.
You got to be kidding me. How could there possibly be more?
Well, there is. And I'm going to tell you how there's more.
Uh-huh.
And all of these items, I believe, if everything goes to plan, will be debuting at PAX in Boston, PAX
this
East.
This is the plan, yes.
So the coup de grace. The grand tour is completed by the Om Nom Nom Drive. I don't know if that's its name officially yet.
It is now. It how could it not be?
So it's pretty much exactly what you think it is, except for it's not. It's part of our
ongoing quest to do everything that Jonathan Coulton does.
Yes, it is a 2 gig flash drive or thumbnail drive
or a dongle or a USB drive.
Yeah, any of those things. It is one of those. On one side, it has the Pollen Storm organization's bathroom logo. And on the other, it is shaped like a candy bar.
Yes, that is the trick. It's shaped totally like a candy wrapper.
Which, you know, there's no connection to us and candy wrappers per se. Yes, we're sweet, but we had to get it. And if we were going to get it, we had to make it at least look somewhat like a candy bar.
Yep.
And came up with the idea of putting the phrase om nom nom on it.
Because that's what you do with a candy bar is you om nom
nom. Nom. It's very attractive, so I guess we'll be posting that on the picture of that on the...
I will see. I have to dig that out of the PDF file that they gave us. Like, we don't physically have them in our hands yet. Somebody just sent us a mock-up, so I will try and post a picture, that mock-up, if I can dig it out of the PDF. But that's coming, too.
So I think that's it for the new product announcements.
Yes,
there.
And here I've got a good bridge announcement.
Sure.
Again, sorry this is so much housekeeping, but we haven't talked to you guys in like 2 weeks. So
I do want to.
Go ahead.
How about do this one and then we'll talk about the last part of the West Coast trip. And,
yes, good.
And some talking and some teasing at the same time.
Good plan. The other thing I wanted to point everyone to, if you haven't seen it yet, on our website, we are working on getting some of our music up on the Rock Band Network.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And there is a poll right now on our website with a listing of what we believe to be our most rock band friendly songs. To varying degrees.
That they're not a cappella.
Yeah, as in not just vocals. And you can go there and you can select and suggest which ones we should put up, because we're not going to put up like 12 songs at once. We're probably going to just do a couple. And we'd like to know what people most would like to see on Rock Band. So please go to pollenstorm.com, check out that poll and vote.
And of course, Opening Band is available right now in case you didn't know.
This is true. So you do not need to write in Opening Band. There is a spot for write-ins too, if we haven't mentioned your favorite song. Please don't say Nun Fight, because it's not going on Rock Band. Because it's two guys singing and that's it.
Which, you know, is fine and all, but you can just do that.
Yeah,
you know?
You could totally do that without needing any part of Rock Band.
Yeah, although, you know, I'm all for using Rock Band. So if you can want it, you can fire it up and then sing it.
This is true.
So
go ahead and re-jeter.
Yes, j-jeter.
J-jeter.
When last we left you folks, we actually recorded the last podcast in, I believe it was a casting agency's room.
Yes.
In Los Angeles.
Oh, very brief mention. I will be posting the video of that. Enough people have requested, but it's going to take a little bit because I have to. It's a very, very large file. It's like a 4 gig file, so I have to convert it down to something more manageable. And then you can totally watch video of us sitting in chairs for an hour.
But we do it very well.
Yes, we do.
With our friends Kim and Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't remember if we talked about what we did in L.A. just the day or two before that. Did we even mention that?
I don't know that we should, depending on... Well, there's a secret thing that we shouldn't really talk about. I hope that's not what you're talking about.
I think it is. God, can we not say anything?
We really shouldn't say anything about it until things become somewhat more official about it. We did a cool thing.
Well, what I meant to say was we did some really cool shows in LA.
Yeah. Maybe we should have had a little more pre-show prep on this.
Oh, maybe.
Sorry to tease you guys.
But surely we must have talked about that already. But we didn't talk about Vancouver, Seattle, and Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the first time we'd ever been in Vancouver.
Yep, we were there during the Olympics.
And I feel like we still haven't been to Vancouver.
It's true. We were in a really, I don't want to say seedy part of town, but we were in, we were not exactly in the shining downtown of Vancouver.
Well, the thing was, we weren't going to stay there because of the Olympics. It was going to be very hard to get a hotel for less than very expensive.
Yeah.
So we stayed in Seattle. It's like 2.5-3 hours away, and drove in. It was kind of gray and overcast, so we didn't even kind of see where we were most of the time.
Yeah, and we were on basically the opposite side of town or something from where the Olympics were. If you, other than all the people wearing Canada hockey jerseys and various signage on the streets, you would not have known the Olympics were in town.
Like, the occasional skier, you know, shushing down the middle of the street.
Well, yeah, there was that. The bobsledders you had to dodge and the losers on the sidewalk. I don't know why they let the losers on the sidewalk, but the bobsledders had to be in the street.
Bunch of losers, man.
Duh. But seriously, like, you know, everyone was like, oh, you were in Vancouver during the Olympics. How was that? And we don't know. We might as well have been in Madison, Wisconsin.
You know what my strongest memory of the Vancouver leg was?
What was that?
Really shitty coffee.
Yeah, you had some terrible coffee.
Yeah, it was just the place that was most convenient that we saw, although we learned 10 minutes after we stepped out of it, there was a Starbucks just around the corner, which I like, but they did have Wi-Fi that was free, so that was something.
Yep.
Free Wi-Fi,
so we could
shitty
Twitter,
coffee.
We could Twitter about our shitty coffee.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and then Seattle and Portland were as magical as they always are. I know that sounds all show busy, but just the... It's weird, though. Seattle, it was about the same size crowd as the last time, but it felt like 5 times as many people.
Yeah.
Just the enthusiasm.
It was they're very, very enthusiastic bunch in Seattle and in Portland. You've got a rowdy breed of geeks up in the Pacific Northwest.
And we pulled a stunt on ya with Mr. Jonathan Colton and Ms. Molly Lewis. We did fingertips from They Might Be Giants.
That's right. That was fun. You know, the funny thing is, I was more nervous about fingertips.
Yeah.
Which is, all said and done, really only about 3 minutes long, 3.5 minutes. I was more nervous about doing that than I was about doing the entirety of the Flood album months before.
Yeah, well, the pacing of it, if you're not familiar with Fingertips, it's off of They Might Be Giants' album Apollo 18, and it's essentially a series of, it's like 15 or 16.
It's actually 20, 22 or 23.
Really?
20, holy it might crap. Be 20, it's 21 or 23, I can't remember which, it's a lot.
But 23 little song segments.
Like little 5 to 10 second to 15 second things.
Barely more than hooks, so... At least with doing the album Flood, the songs were, you know, a couple of minutes a piece and, you know, there are patterns and you set into them.
Yeah.
And
it's like once you know the verse, then you know the second and third verse.
And you even have time to think ahead. With Fingertips, it's bam, 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 bam. If you don't know exactly where you're going, the whole thing will fall apart. And we all pulled it off and it was... impressive. We even bought a bass to do it.
That's right. We bought a bass. And then that was the other great thing. We auctioned the bass off at the end of the trip for Child's Play, the money getting donated to the Child's Play charity. And that was really cool and lots of fun. We actually raised $450 for Child's Play.
And the amazing thing is the bass itself with the gig bag cost maybe $180.
Yeah.
But you know, the point wasn't. And the person who bought it, she was just thrilled to do it because, you know, it was a cause that she really loved. Yeah. So,
so there was the trip and, what else? We spent the last, week just sort of getting all the logistics together of assembling the CD and the artwork and the new shirt and all that. That's all finally out the door.
We've also been in talks, scheming and plotting with our co-Wootstockers, Will Wheaton and Adam Savage, laying plans for the upcoming Wootstocks in Seattle and Portland. And that brings us up to something that, Paul, you might want to mention to the nice people.
I might want to mention it. Could this totally be a world premiere announcement? It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting, Paul presenting this.
Go ahead.
No, now.
Oh, now. Okay. Are you sure? We would like to make the first official announcement of Wootstock 2.2 and 2.3. I should say Wootstocks. Or is it Wootstock?
Wootstock, I like. like attorneys general.
Yes, exactly. They are going to be, and I quote, on Sunday, June 6th at Park West in Chicago, Illinois.
You won the lotteries, Chicago's.
Yes. And then on Monday, June 7th.
Wait, you folks want to guess? Go ahead and guess.
You go ahead. Shout it out. Think you know? It is at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, so, there's a whole bunch of yaying and groaning right now.
That's right. It's totally like when they announce who gets to host the Olympics in 8 years.
Which we're now announcing it's going to be Cleveland.
Yay. Oh, that would be awesome if they had the Olympics in Cleveland.
Cleveland Olympics. That's the name of my Olympics.
And the lovely Olympics they are.
Thank you.
The mascot is just like a Buick up on blocks.
Wow. All our friends in Cleveland, you folks out there are like, hey, man.
No, they're all like, yeah, he's right. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so Wootstock, two more shows. Excuse me. Official. Both for those and for, you know, even also for the Seattle and Portland. If you have ideas of whom we should invite as special guests to Wootstocks, it is extremely preferable that they be local to the city that we are in. Feel free to suggest, because, you know, we have a lot of ideas, but there's probably a lot of people we might not necessarily know about because we're not experts in everything, despite appearances to the contrary.
And it's ever evolving, and being listening to the peeps is a big part of what it's all about.
Yeah. So please feel free to suggest folk.
And speaking of the Seattle and Portland shows, we absolutely astounded I guess not the promoters, but the people on the venue end, in that in the days after we announced those, a very large number of tickets were sold.
Yeah, we'll have a whole post about this separately, I think, because it warrants its own posting. But let's suffice to say that our booking agent had to fight for these people basically to not spend any money on advertising for the first month, which is not very usual. Like, usually these venues by default will, you know, put several thousand dollars away towards putting money into great big newspaper ads and free weekly ads.
Which is what traditionally works.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's certainly what they always do. You know, I mean, how else are most people going to find out? But we have been trying to exploit the power of the internet and show that this is a viable model. At this point, both shows, Seattle and Portland, are verging on half sold out in 2 weeks with no advertising whatsoever other than our mentioning it on our websites and on Twitter. And that is incredible and awesome. And we want to continue to prove to them that it is even incredibler and awesomer. So we don't have ticket information, by the way, yet for Chicago and Minneapolis. That will be up very soon. And we hope to do the same thing there that we did in Seattle and Portland, as far as you guys buying lots and lots of tickets.
And fear not, folks on the East Coast or in the South and in the wherever, that we're all so fired up about doing Wootstocks, and, you know, good things happen.
Yeah, without discussing particular details, we had a wonderful conference call with Will and Adam last week where we were just, you know, because it's hard for the four of us to actually carve out time together, and, you know, they're busy guys. But, you know, we spent probably an hour and a half just sort of talking strategy and ideas and getting excited about everything. And trust us when we say we really want to do more of them. We want to do them all over the place. A lot of it is just getting the schedules to work out. But we hear your cries, those of you in places where Wootstock is not yet.
And go to eventful.com and request us for your town, because that really does inform us.
Yeah, that is just about the best thing you can do as far as letting us know where we should hold the next ones. So yeah, Wootstock, new CD, new shirt, Rock Band Network.
Wow, well, boy, we didn't really provide much content besides ourselves.
Yeah, so this one, looking back to the beginning, this was really sort of the branch B, the expository. I don't think there was a lot of crawling up our own asses on this one. It was mostly just information.
Yeah, and, you know, I've got a couple of little random stories and conversation pieces, but I'll say...
Do you have any that are 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think this one.
Okay.
Could be.
I'm timing you. Go.
All right. I may have mentioned this in one of the road trips in the car, but you used to be able to go from New York to London or Paris in about 3 hours on the Concorde.
Yes.
You can't do that anymore.
Nope.
If you're military, you can.
Yes.
Maybe if you're the president. I don't know if they let him go on, you know, something that's all hypersonic. I do not know. Supersonic. Is there anything else like that, a technology that used to be, I wouldn't say commonplace, but, you know, it wouldn't have been unusual for you to be able to do it, that you can no longer do today?
A technological achievement that was better then than it is now.
Right. Like, certainly people would say, well, I used to be able to, you know, leave your doors unlocked. No, that's not what I mean. I don't mean like a societal change.
Mm-hmm.
That's a function of... It was really a function of economics more than anything else. But the fact is, that's a technology that used to be somewhat commonly available that you just don't have the option of using now. And I don't mean like, you know, well, you know, you used to have radios with push buttons. No, you could still have a radio with a push button.
Yep.
Something that you could have done then that you cannot do now.
That's a very good question. I can't really think of much other than man regularly going to the moon.
And that's not something that everyone can do.
No, it's true.
So, I've thought about this several times since it first popped into my head, and I have not come up with anything. I'm sure there are, I know that they used to paint glow-in-the-dark stuff with materials that turned out to be cancerous, you know?
Right, right.
But, you know, that's not like something that you're like, oh, man, I wish I could still paint things with cancerous materials.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody out there that says that, but
well,
most
right.
people.
Nobody that's not locked up somewhere.
Right.
Or that will be.
And that is almost exactly 2 minutes. That
See?
Worked out nicely.
So if you know anything like that, I want to know.
Okay. So all of that information, a lot of stuff we plowed through this week. So yay. And you can join the Brigade of Minions and all that. Go to paulandstorm.com. You can see the picture of the new cover art and the new shirt. And I think we're making buttons and the new USB drive. And suggest Wootstock people. What else, Storm?
You know, that is more than enough. Just go to paulandstorm.com and learn more about that. And learn that I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
Bastion, say my name!
Go do things.